This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Good morning, First Church. At this time, we ask that that you enter into an attitude of prayer. The songwriter says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Let us go to God in prayer. God, you knew we need a Savior.
Yes.
And for that, we just say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
God, thank you for this day, a day not promised, but one that you saw fit to allow us to be in. We say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Lord, there are people all over the world that are sick.
Lord
God, we pray for miraculous healing.
Yes.
Heal from the inside out.
Yes.
Sick in mind, body, or spirit, Lord God. Heal like only you can.
Yes. Yes.
For those that are grieving today.
Yes, Lord.
We have people on our prayer list here. We have those that are perhaps on our hearts and minds. God, be the shalom, the peace.
Yes.
Those that are marginalized, those that are in need, Lord God, those that are homeless, those that need food, perhaps those even that are jobless, the immigrants, the widows, the orphans. We're praying for everybody, Lord, that you would provide. Be the Jehovah Jireh. Every situation, Lord God, every need, meet that like only you can.
Right now, Lord.
Father God, we ask for prayers in this service.
Yes, Jesus.
Allow everything that we do to be pleasing in our sight.
Yes.
It's not about us. You've allowed 77 years.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And for that, we are grateful. Continue to allow us to be a beacon light in this community. Allow us to share more, to give more.
Yes.
That's of our time, our gifts, our talents, and certainly our service. Allow us to witness to everyone we come in contact with. Lord God, we just praise you. And we offer up in praise and thanksgiving, all that we have, all that we are. Continue to lead us and guide us in everything that we do, Lord. And we give you the praise. For truly, there is none like you, none more worthy. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, and all in agreement said, amen.
Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Change.
The Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now let's join Reverend Wanda Best as she explores this topic further.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. Thank you all this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God is so good. Father God, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for this worship experience. We thank you that you have us in the palm of your hands. We thank you, Lord, that you know us. You've been with us. You've led this church over 77 years. And now we are here to give your name glory, honor, and praise. There have been many before us, Lord, that laid this foundation, but now we have the opportunity to build on something that was even before us. And now we take pleasure in striving toward perfection. So God, hide me behind the cross. All that I say and do, be glorified, and we'll love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I saw the text that for today that was printed in the bulletin, and I read those scriptures. But I just want to add one to it today, if you don't mind, that will be coming out of the Psalms. Psalm 121. Hear these words. Lift up your eyes to the hills, from whence cometh your help. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this day forth and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. Now, as I was looking at your theme, striving for perfection, fulfilling God's divine mandate for 77 years, I had to examine the word strive. And as I began to look at the word strive, it says to contend, to struggle, to press against the adversary. And then perfection means that you are moving against spiritual flaws. And as I thought about struggle and pressing, I realized that you cannot move toward perfection without the help of the Lord. That's how I came to 121. Lift up your eyes to the hills, which comes your health, your help. So striving for perfection, fulfilling God's divine mandate, is really our purpose here on earth. That we would go into the world to preach the gospel to all nations. Michael tells us like this: God commands, and he makes it clear that we must do just and do all things without complaining and disputing, becoming blameless, so that the work of the Lord might continue, and that our work will not be in vain. So in the context of this title, I want to invite you to begin to think about the text that I read about God's provisional care. See, you're going to need God's provision foresight in order for you to strive toward perfection. So if you believe that God is and that his right hand is your keeper and the Lord will preserve your going in and your coming out, if you believe that God's provisional care is what you need, it will be all that you need in order for you to strive toward perfection. Provisional comes from the Greek word panona, which means foresight or provision. It means that when God is in the plan, that God is able to do far more than what you can ever think or ask, because it was in the foresight of what God had already planned before you were in your mother's womb. I like that part. See, we all need to be saying, God, what is your foreplan or your foresight for me? See, most of us like working out of our own will, our own ability to get things done. And we find ourselves sometimes in a pickle because things don't turn and churn like the way we would like them to. But sometimes it's because it's not in the will of God for your life. You've got to learn how to move beyond your own thinking and begin to say, God, what is the plan? You said in your word, I've got a plan for you. And that plan is for a good future, and it's to work things out on your behalf. So sometimes you need to stop and say, God, what is the plan for my life? Because I know that your will be done, whether I want it to be done or not. Sometimes it's going to take a little longer because we're not willing to give in to God's plan for our lives. But what I do understand, that if you allow God to work in your life, to make those provisions, to accomplish his plan in your life will be better. Because only God can do what he says he's going to do and say what he's going to do and perform or perfect that which is his. So God is sovereign. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Nothing can stand against his purpose and plan for your preordained life. So if you trust God's provisional care and those things that are mysterious and things that you do not understand, those things that are beyond your scope of reach, God will show up right on time. See, we understand that God is amazing, that he can see into our future. He's already penned for us what he has for us to do in this life. But we must have faith, and we must be persistent in allowing God's word to go forth on our behalf. We serve a good God, y'all. We serve a God that is all purposeful. Yeah, we serve a God that knows all about our troubles. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. God holds your tomorrow. See, in your life, God is working all things for the good to those who are called to his purpose. See, it is in the travails of life that we find God's divine intervention working on our behalf. Like the Good Samaritan, we are reminded that we were once wounded, downtrodden, and people passed over us as if we were not there. But I'm here to tell you that God himself is our God, and he is our keeper. And like a good Samaritan, we need to keep pressing on toward the mark. See, Luke 10:25 says that a certain lawyer came to Jesus and said to him, how do I inherit eternal life? And him wanting to simplify his life, he said, how do I inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said to him that you must love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer, wanting to justify him, says, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave him the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus said a certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And they took his clothes. They wounded him. They left him for dead. Now, by chance, the Bible says that a priest came down that same road, looked at the man who was wounded, crossed over to the other side. And then it says, likewise, a Levite came down that same road, did the same thing, passed by the man and crossed over to the other side. But a certain Samaritan saw the man, had compassion on him, bandaged up his wounds, and took him to the city and asked the gatekeeper or the innkeeper to keep watch over him. And if there was a debt to be paid, when he came back through, he was going to pay the debt. And Jesus looks at the lawyer and says, who is most neighborly? The young man said, the one who showed mercy. Jesus says, you're right. So go and do likewise. See, what Jesus was saying, it doesn't matter about your status. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter how many folk you know. It doesn't matter about your education, your prestige. It doesn't matter that you're rich and got money. The gateway to heaven is the same gateway for all of us. And that is to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Some of y'all are saying, well, pastors, I hear you, but that verse, I can't deal with it too much. You just don't know what's happened in my life. Some people have done some terrible things to me. It's been 20 years and I'm still mad. I don't think I'm going to ever get over it. So this Samaritan story that you're talking about, I'm trying to get with you, but I'm really, really not there. Well, the truth of the matter is, you've got to remember that your forgiving does not hinge upon what happened to you. It hinges on your ability to have mercy, even when it hurts. So in order to inherit the earth or the things of this earth, you've got to understand, or in order to inherit the kingdom of God, you've got to understand that this earth is not where God is asking you to pretend. Amen. But this earth is a place where God wants to allow you to become all that you can become through spiritual discipline. Striving for perfection is a spiritual discipline. A spiritual discipline that requires believing in the impossible, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and then bringing every thought into obedience of Christ. Striving for perfection, some of y'all need to write this down, is believing in God's possibilities. You just can't strive and say we're striving and believe that the church is going to turn around if you don't do more than strive. You've got to put some action in your striving. You've got to let God know that what you're doing here is what his purpose and his plan is for the life of the church. You've got to put some action, because faith without works is dead. The Bible says genuine faith does not just believe what it can see, but it believes in the things that it cannot see. Genuine faith is believing in the possible, that the things that you cannot see, you have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God himself is going to do. Your faith in God and the impossibilities that God wants to work in your life are called wonders and mysterious. I love that part. God works in mysterious ways with wonders to perform. So that means if you can see everything, if you can figure out everything, if you know everything, then you don't give God an opportunity to work mysteriously, not only in your life, but in the life of the church. See, God has the church in the palm of his hands. God says, no weapon formed against it shall prosper. God is a miracle working God. How many of you all need a miracle in your life? If you will trust him, God will work a miracle in your life, because it is in the impossibilities that God performs his best work. So some of you today might be saying that this striving toward perfection may cause me to have to do a little bit more than I planned. Striving for perfection might mean I have to change my ways. Striving for perfection might mean that I may have to take the back seat every now and then so that God can come forth and do what God wants to do. Striving for perfection might mean that it doesn't always have to be your way. Because when it's your way, then your way does not always line up with God's way. And so some of you all might be between a rock and a hard place trying to make the right choice whether or not you're going to get on this van of striving for perfection. Well, I'm here to tell you that the right answer to your thinking is to follow Christ. Do good, repent of your sins, forgive others, and have mercy, and take the high road. It's not for us, I want you to get this, to always understand what direction God is taking the church. I'm sure y'all are looking around right now trying to figure it out. God, where do we go from here? We've been through a pandemic, still in the midst of it. We're still wearing masks. We're still trying to social distance. You know, so many things we really want to do, we really, really can't do right now because, you know, folks are still nerved up. They still scared. You know, God, this just doesn't even seem right. We never thought we would ever be in this position. But we find ourselves here. And we have to trust God that what God is doing is for our own good. It's God's responsibility and our responsibility to seek his face and to lean not to our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of our ways, and God will direct our path. God knows all about your struggles. Some of y'all are on the verge of giving up, saying tomorrow I can't do it any longer, but I'm here to tell you, don't worry about tomorrow. It has enough troubles of its own. God wants you to ask him about anything you don't understand. God wants to answer any questions about life that you have so that you can know where you fit into God's plan. You can ask God and God will respond to whatever your question might be. God wants to answer, and he wants you to stop acting like you know everything. That you hold the world in your hands. That you've got everything worked out. He wants you to stop being rebellious and obnoxious, not showing mercy when mercy is needed. God wants to heal you, church. He wants to fulfill his mandate. He wants you to walk worthy of the call that is upon your life. God wants to love you right where you are, no matter what the devil says about you. God wants to manifest his power and his glory in each of our lives. Do the Lord need us? No, he doesn't, but he wants us to be in a vessel that demonstrates his power here on earth. So move yourself out of the way and let God have his way. God is calling us. He's calling you. God is calling us because he wants to reveal us as a saturated vessel unto himself. Saturated in holiness unto himself. I don't really know how y'all came up with this theme. But I hope that you're taking it serious, because you're making a mandate today that you're going to strive toward perfection, that you're going to do things differently than you've ever done before. You're saying that I'm getting out of the way, Lord, that you might have your way. I'm striving. I'm pressing. I'm moving in a spiritual way that I've never moved before, that you might open up the windows and pour us out blessings that we won't have room for. God wants to saturate us in holiness, mold us and shape us for good work so that we can be all that God wants us to be. So this theme, it's right on point. Striving for perfection means that, you know, you understand that you need to get out of the way and that you need to press toward the mark, that you must become fully mature. But when the body of Christ really grasped the concept of God's mercy, and then you put it with the understanding of God's provisional care, then you understand what it means then to just follow the yellow brick road. See, this is not a hard thing to do. It's just a commitment that has to be made in order for it to happen. There is much work for this church to do. I mean, if you just sitting up here on Sundays just preaching to yourself and singing to yourself and praying to yourself and doing it to yourself, and you're not out there in the highways and hedges compelling people to come to Christ, you're just having church. And there's a church on every corner. So don't think just because you have this little building over here and you're sitting off in this little cozy spot that people are looking for you. There's nobody looking for you. The Bible says that we've got to go out and compel folk to come to Christ. There's work to be done. Each person is responsible for doing what needs to be done in order for this church to grow and in order for this church to become all that God wants it to be. Oh, I know y'all thought COVID was going to take us out of here. Y'all wasn't going to never get in this building again. Some of y'all were so nerved up. Y'all were so, oh, Lord, don't let me die, because if I die, I don't know where. Oh, Lord, you know, everything I've ever done was in this church. Oh, God, they can't take me down to the Baptist church. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Y'all thought COVID had us out of here, but look at God. Look at God. You need to give him a hand praise. Look at God. Look at God. You back in the church again, not because of you, but because it's time, and God knows that the timing is now, that the church needs to be about his business, because it's easy to get complacent and be at home. Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. I have to press myself sometimes, because I can look at about four or five preachers on Sunday morning. Never come to the church. If they good enough, I'll hit that button that say give. Man, you bless me so much. I'm gonna give you an offering right here on my bed. I'm gonna give you an offering. The Lord say, no, y'all got to get up. Get moving. There's much work to do. The job is not over. The building of his kingdom is not over. And God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And when he says, upon this rock I build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail. So if you're wondering, oh, what we need to be doing, y'all need to be building, because 78 years is on its way. I thought y'all would shout on that. I thought y'all would shout on that one. Because some of y'all are wondering, we in 77, and what are we supposed to be doing? I'm going to say it again. You need to keep building, because 78 is on its way. And God is still sitting on the throne. So stay focused to the hills, which come your help. Your help come from the Lord. So I want to give you one more thought before I get through here. Psalms 121, I need for you to get these words out of that text, is that we can have confidence and assurance that God is with us. God is here with us right now today. Amen. So we cannot treat God like he's over there, but we need to treat God like God is here, that he is our keeper. He's our protector, church. He's our preserver. That's why the children of Israel sang this hymn as they were going up to Jerusalem for the annual pilgrimage feast. See, this is a song, 121. Sing it sometimes when you're trying to figure your life out, when things are not going right. Just turn to Psalms 121. It's a song of praise and worship that will allow you to know that whatever you are going through, you are not alone. They sang this song on their way up to Jerusalem. And this song was a remembrance that they were not alone. This song was a comfort and a strength that anticipated that as they struggled through the barren land, God was still with them. This song was not only to be used as a song of encouragement, but it was a song for them to look up when they went through dangerous valleys. So what can we learn from this song as you strive for perfection? You can learn from this song that you can look up, that you are not alone. Striving for perfection is attainable with God's help. You can't do it by yourself. But if you look to the hill, I'm not talking about the mountain, because when you look toward the mountain, you go beyond the mountain and you look toward God. So when you're looking to the hill, toward God, which cometh your help, then you can sing praises to God in the midst of whatever is going on in your life. I'm here to tell you, life is full of constant challenges. And living life is not easy, especially for some of us. But if you trust in God, keep your mind and your heart centered on Him, change will come. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how spiritual, how confident you are in yourself. All of us need God's provision in our lives. No one truly understands, y'all, the life lessons. They're called mysterious and they're called mystery. Therefore, God allows us to unravel our lives through His divine intervention. So, look up. There's a lot to see. Psalms 121:7 says, the Lord will keep you. Mm-hmm. He'll preserve you. He'll defend you. He'll safeguard you. God promises that He'll restore everything back to you that the devil has stolen. So don't worry about these last couple of years, year and a half, we've been out. Don't have heartburn about that. God said, I'm gonna restore you. I'm gonna make it better than it was before you left. I'm gonna give you things that you never had before. I'm just cleaning up a few things. I'm just helping you to understand that it's not about you, but it's about me. I'm just helping you to understand that the pastor didn't close the doors. I closed the doors because some of y'all were so connected to the doors that you could no longer do what God needed you to do. But I'm going to here to tell you today that I'm going to close the door. And when I close those doors, no man can open. And it's just not going to affect you, but it's going to affect all of us. So don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't delay God's process. God is looking at you and the 77 years of ministry that you have done is not in vain. The word of God will never return void. You can rely on Him. His word is right for now, and it'll never change. We can testify of His goodness and all that He's done for us. I'm just elated by the God we serve. You know, you just can't figure God out. Just when you think that the door is closed, just when you think that things are not going to happen, God changes his mind and he allows things to come forth. Do y'all remember the text of the woman who had the issue of blood? It reminds us that our churches have to be that diligent in allowing people to find Christ. You remember how she made her way to Christ? How she struggled and pressed, contended with folk who didn't want to let her get to where he was? But she pressed, she strived to get there. And she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem, y'all know the story, of his garment, I will be made whole. Because in his garment, I told you this before, the word of God was in his, in the tassel of his garment, and the power was in him. And she was saying that if I can just get to him, the word and the power, I will be made whole. The world is saying the same thing about us today. If I can just get to the power and the word of God, that I will be made whole. So God is asking the church to be this powerhouse to meet spiritual needs of people who are lost by the wayside. A church that is striving toward perfection is a church that understands the need to preach the word and to allow the Holy Spirit to be present. Now, some of you all are saying, well, we hear the word, but sometimes it's difficult to find the Spirit. Even when the choir is singing, some of y'all are still looking around. They're begging you to praise, raise your hand, come forth, stand to your feet. And y'all are just looking, trying to figure out where the Spirit of the Lord is. But let me help you today to understand that the Spirit of the Lord is in you. And if you don't bring nothing, nothing is going to happen. And you just going to work me to death looking at me, looking at the power of God working in my life. You just going to work me to death so that you can get a thrill. But I'm here to tell you today, the Holy Spirit is in you. The world is looking at you. If they can't see God in you, where are they going to see him? If they can't feel the presence of God with you, where are they going to find the presence of God? So, how many souls? I ask you this question as you look at 77 years. I want to ask each one of you these questions before I sit down. For 77 years, or however long you've been here, what have you contributed to the ministry? How many souls have you led to Christ? Are you a clay vessel saturated in holiness? Are you a Samaritan? Or are you just sitting around doing your own thing? Who have you picked up on the side of the road and left a benevolence for their care? Have you crossed over the other side when you saw that there was someone who was wounded and needed your help? These are hard questions, but these are questions that you've got to ask yourself and you've got to reckon with in order to strive toward perfection. So if you're looking at me and saying, well, you know, the last time I even told anybody what I learned in church was a while back. They said, what did the preacher preach on? I don't know. Well, what did the choir say? Oh, that same old song they sang last week. Well, was there any ushers? Yeah, they was there. But I didn't see, they didn't say nothing to me. Well, who sent you to your chair? Nobody. I just walked in. Just opened the door and just walked on in. The door didn't even have no covering. You know, that's why they put ushers on the door so folk just don't walk in. You know, that's why they had them at the temple so folk just don't come in whenever they feel like they want to come in. You've got to be ushered into the presence of God. So what have you done, church? Think about it. Only you know and only God know. If you haven't done anything to help to build this kingdom, you got till 78. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got off on that. See, I got the middling in. But you have until year 78 to be able to answer these questions. What have you done? If you haven't done anything, you need to get busy. Because I'm here to tell you, the pastor and a few faithful members can't make it happen. You've bitten off more than you can chew when you talk about striving for perfection, keeping God's mandate. That's not an easy task. That's why you need God's help. And so y'all need to start thinking about what it is that you're going to do in order to make this happen and in order for God to be glorified. So striving for perfection, I'm about to sit down. Fulfilling God's mandate means that the church will move from challenges to opportunities. Y'all get that? We have plenty challenges. But as you're striving, you've got to move away from all of the challenges the church has had and move into opportunities. So how do you rethink church? How do you do things differently that you may become appealing to people who don't know you and don't know the church? How do you rethink it? Because I'm here to tell you, it's not the same and it will never be the same. Some of you all just waiting for things to rib up again and y'all can get back to making potluck dinners, having dinner on the ground. And you know, y'all know all them having this and that and celebrating this and that. Y'all, some of y'all can't wait, but I'm telling you, it ain't gonna be like that no more. All right. You've got to rethink this thing. Because you know that if it didn't work then, and people have had a taste of something different, it ain't gonna work again. So it's your responsibility to rethink church, look at new missional opportunities, invest in the young, train up new leaders, listen to new voices, and look for shiny eyes. Ooh, I love that part. You got to look for the shiny eyes. I ain't seen none. Well, they ain't in here. They down at the Cracker Barrel. Hallelujah. They down at the Starbucks. Some of them in jail and getting out, looking for an opportunity to serve. Some of them is at y'all's houses. You can't see them shiny eyes because they sleep. And you let them sleep. But you got to look for them shiny eyes. There's people out there that want to know you. There's people that want to know the church. There are people who are striving to see what can I do to make God's kingdom on earth better than what it is. But you got to go out there and find them. The highways and hedges are full of wounded people who want to serve Christ but are waiting for a good Samaritan like you to pick them up on the side of the road and take them to the innkeeper who said, I was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity. And by his stripes, we're healed. It's folk out there looking, church. It's folk out there looking. They're laying by the side of the road. They're looking for an opportunity to come into this building and partake of this table, the Lord's table, a table that is open to all who will receive. They want to dine here. This is a place where we all want to feast. Look at it. It represents the holiness of Christ. When we come and we drink and we eat the bread, the broken body of Christ. Look at this table. People on the streets that have fallen by the highways and hedges would enjoy this meal that had been prepared for us. So now that we partake of this meal, what are you going to do to help somebody else be able to come and dine at this table? If you're striving for perfection, looking to fulfill God's mandate, you got to go out there. Hear me, church. You've got to go out there and you've got to compel them to come to this table that they might have life. And have life more abundantly. So I'm praying for you. I'm going to be watching to see just how committed you are to striving, pressing, pushing toward perfection. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, may God be with you and may He keep you, is my prayer. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.